Hey everyone, this is John from MetroBuzz, and you're listening to The Lars with Ben and Ralph. And let me tell you, if there are two guys that would make me turn gay, yeah, I'm not really sure where I was going with that. Okay, here's Ben and Ralph.
I'm going to Africa. Yes, ma'am, I'm a Brit, was President Lincoln. There's a dog in the vent. Chicken necks, I pick Ken Griffey Jr.
So anyway, my cat's breath smells like cat food. Hey, what's up, dude?
Hey, man, how's it going?
Hey, wow, guys.
This is great. I might do this from now on.
Ralph, this is the Lars podcast.
This is Ralph.
A non-Lars podcast, and that's Ralph over there. And he's sitting on the couch of orange, which is the technical term for his bed.
That's correct. This is the first time I'm not sitting in the desk chair. I was kind of lazy when Ben showed up. And I was like, I really am comfortable in this bed, and it'll be a lot easier for me to just kind of hold the mic and just sit down.
He asked if I could set up the podcast with him moving as little as possible. So I went and got the mics. Seriously, I don't think you stood up to start the show.
No, I did. I went and got the mixer thingy.
Oh, the mixer. Okay.
And... yeah,
but mostly he's reclined. He's like just kicking back like a hedonism bot on Futurama. Hey what? Guys, I'm Ben, by the way. So now
I thought you already said Ben.
No, I didn't get to it yet, but I am. We're the Lars, a non-Lost podcast.
Not only a non-Lost podcast, but we are actually this week a
Simpsons podcast.
That's correct.
Do you want to talk? Just do our bullshit and then get into the Simpsons, or do you want to give a little?
Yeah, let's do bullshit now, and okay. Then we'll do the shirt stuff at the end.
Okay.
And then, yeah. And then
okay,
we'll
so
talk
how,
shop.
How's your bullshit, dude?
Dark.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. No, it's fine.
We went bowling yesterday.
We went bowling yesterday, and I think it was my favorite bowling yet.
Did you? Because you did
so well?
I had
a good time.
Or?
No, I did shitty. That last game, I bowled a,
oh, yeah, like
a 63
60.
Or something.
It turns out I cheated, so that's okay.
Yeah, and apparently there's footage of that, or photo evidence.
Yeah, one of our friends was taking pictures of me and Ralph bowling. Taking pictures of your friends. And he caught a shot of me with my toe over the line, so.
Yeah.
Whoopsie!
Maybe you're just wearing bigger shoes than normal.
Yeah, that's entirely possible, but I think they don't care.
Yeah, who?
In terms of fouls.
Oh, yeah.
So was it because we were playing all that Jemka music while we were bowling?
I don't know what it was. I think it was the fact that every time we bowl now, I feel less and less exhausted from doing it.
Like you're getting into the groove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carrying around my 16-pound ball is a lot easier.
It's your arm's starting to work its way up to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like we do three games and... Yeah, after a long time of not bowling, three games is a lot of bowling.
Yeah, it is.
The first time we went...
We usually get there like 9:30 in the morning, and we go to like
noon?
12:30
yeah.
or something. Yeah,
that's a marathon.
That's three more hours of physical activity than I have been getting
than the whole
Sundays.
Rest of the week.
Actually, I'm so tuckered out from my bowling yesterday that I'm just sitting on the couch of orange.
That's why you're stuck there.
Yeah, we do this thing. Have we mentioned the breakfast bowling before?
I don't know. Maybe
there's
not.
A place in Anaheim that does this thing, breakfast bowling, and it's. $10.
$10 for three games.
Three games of bowling, shoe rentals included, and a pretty good breakfast.
Yeah, a cafe breakfast. Can't you get from like a Greasy Spoon?
I get like a, you know, you get a drink, a couple eggs, pancakes, and bacon or sausage.
Yeah, or like hash browns or toast. It's good stuff.
And it's delivered to your lane.
Yeah, which is even better.
So for $10, you can't beat 3 hours of entertainment and breakfast.
And breakfast. Although it wasn't just $10 for me yesterday because I still dropped $5 on the jukebox.
We dropped a lot on the jukebox, but I think it kind of makes up for it because you can pick any song you want.
It's one of those like internet-style jukeboxes where it's just loaded with tracks and tracks and tracks.
Yeah.
But not the Battle of Hoth.
No. Try to get more bang for our buck, so we try to get a 16-minute long track in there.
I guess I should look for Inagata Davida. I wonder
How
if they have
that.
How long
is that song?
That's like 25 minutes. It's like the entire one side of the cassette.
I know what you'll sing during it.
I probably will.
In the Garden of Eden.
That's right. By Iron Butterfly. Which is just one of many Simpsons references I'll make today.
Yeah. Do you want to get into movie review, or do you?
Yeah.
Want,
I mean,
let's get movie review out of the way.
Yeah. Because
and then we'll move on to.
To our main event.
To our Springfield cast. I don't know what we're going to call this.
We'll have to give it a separate chapter.
Yeah. Scorpio, he'll sting you with his dreams
of power and wealth. Beware of Scorpio. All right. The movie review is actually something that we should get into pretty quickly because it's what we did right after bowling yesterday.
Yes.
Or what I did, at least.
Yeah.
We went to a new theater.
Yet another movie review from Ben.
I know. I'm like
doesn't include me.
I'm solo over here.
Yeah, dude. Well, I mean,
the people are going to get the impression that I like movies more than you, but that's not exactly the case. It's just been a weird couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But we went to a different theater, a theater that we hadn't been to in a while. Have you ever been there?
Yeah, I saw basketball there, and I saw Clay Pigeons there.
Nice. I think the last film I saw there was Last Man Standing with Bruce Willis.
I haven't seen that movie. It's in my queue.
Oh, cool. Let me know, because I haven't seen it in a long time. But this theater is wicked cheap.
Yeah, it's $5
for
no,
a matinee.
It's $4 before noon.
Yeah.
$5 before 6 p.m.
Yeah.
And it's newly refurbished, and it's completely digital.
Yeah. Like, almost, I don't know, like 4 or 5 of the 10 screens are all digital?
All
of
them.
At least half. They're all? They're all?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's,
I know.
For $5?
Well, while you were going to see your movie, I went and saw...
You won't even say it.
Well, I'm leaving it for your review.
Oh, okay.
But while you went and saw your movie, I went and saw Transformers again. And
right.
It was in digital, so...
That was your third
great.
Time.
That was my third time.
And how did that go?
Awesome, because I could even see everything even better now.
Okay, so third time still good.
Yeah.
There's no diminishing returns on Transformers.
Yeah.
I think I will now go into my movie review.
Which is the movie?
Harry Potter and the Goblet of... No. Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. There we go.
Is it like the titular line somewhere in the movie that you would remember?
No.
They don't talk about the Order of the
Phoenix
at all?
They talk about the Order of the Phoenix, sure, but they don't say, bring me Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Jean Grey isn't sitting at Denny's.
Yeah.
I'll have French toast.
Oh, okay. That's the Order of the Phoenix. Was that one the sketch on Saturday Night Live with, let's see, I'll have 2 eggs, bacon, hash browns, and pancakes. Oh, here at Denny's, we call that the Grand Slam.
I have no idea.
Remember that? It was like Chris Parnell, and it's always like a scientist that has to save the world, and then Seth Meyers comes
in. Oh, yeah.
Starts zinging people.
That's right.
That shit was funny. Okay, anyhow, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. The reason I couldn't get it right at first is I've been reading all the books in my run-up toward the next book. So,
how much better are the books than the movies?
Way. Way better.
Okay.
You know how maybe
always...
Is it
because the books are really good? Or is it because the movies are really bad? Or is it the movies are really bad and the books are pretty good?
The books are pretty to very good, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
The movies are fairly to okay good.
Uh-huh.
But they... What makes them have to make a movie, you know, like make a 2.5 hour movie based on a 700-page book, they have to cut down a lot of shit.
Uh-huh.
And it just turns out that every time they do it, they cut out like the subtleties that I thought made the book so cool.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, if you liked Tom Bombadil, if he was like your favorite part of Fellowship of the Ring, and you, right now you're like, who?
No, I know.
If he was like your
dude,
favorite,
I've seen the commentary, each commentary on each Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that's right,
at least 3 times.
They should have mentioned him
in every commentary.
Really? So if he was like your favorite character, you would kind of be like, "Well, this Lord of the Rings movie is obviously very good, but it's missing something that I really enjoyed."
But the Harry Potter movies
aren't obviously very good.
There's something like I heard that they cut a lot out of Part 3.
Yes.
Which is the one Harry Potter movie I liked, and apparently everyone's favorite one.
It's
But if you can cut out stuff and still make it a good movie...
Then you should be able to do that.
Yeah, you should do that.
Yeah, there's nothing about making the movies less subtle that should instantly lead to them not being good.
Uh-huh.
That's just a coincidence, I think.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, the third book was my favorite book, and the third movie is my favorite movie.
Uh-huh.
And it's also one of those ones where they cut out a ton of shit that I thought made it great. So yeah.
I'm wondering why they're not doing them Lord of the Rings style, because these movies are making so much.
They might
think they double dip on the DVDs and make like super extended versions.
You'd think that. Maybe it's a budgetary concern, or I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But
Let's
talk about this one. Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix is based on the fifth book in the series. You're given no recap at all. You're just thrown into it in the void, which if you have to judge a movie, you should judge it on the movie itself.
Yeah.
And that means this movie suffers a little bit, I think.
Okay.
But it's not the movie's fault. You know, obviously it made $140 million this weekend. It doesn't need to apologize for itself, but...
Yeah.
You know, in terms of just the movie itself, it's kind of missing something.
Have the others had, like, a recap or anything?
No, not really. I mean, little bits and pieces here and there. It's not like Superman 2.
They must be banking on the fact that people have seen
these. They completely are. And by banking on it, I mean going to the bank with millions and millions of dollars. So
yeah, and you got to think about it. Like, if they start doing, like, recaps or anything, then that's going to take away more from the story.
Exactly.
Which apparently is already suffering.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not something that I feel like I can really criticize because, you know, I think they're doing their best. But on the other hand, like I said, if you're looking at a movie and you're going to review it like a movie, it should tell its own whole story.
Yeah.
It shouldn't rely on prior knowledge. Like, you can't tell Titanic and never show a boat. Just have everyone assume they know that they're on a boat. You know, that's just nitpicking. Harry Potter in this movie... goes back to school, as usual, and has to shoot wand bullets at things, and gets dragged into a fun climax at the end.
Okay.
And I think I will use the rating system this week will be wands up or wands down, instead of thumbs up or thumbs down. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to give this one a wand sideways.
Okay.
I can't say it's good or bad.
If I were in this movie, what would I give it?
If you were rating this movie...
knowing me and my hatred towards Harry Potter films,
I'm trying to think of stuff specifically from this movie that you could use as a rating system.
No, I'm just saying, what would I give it?
Oh, you would give it.
Giving it a one sideways,
you would give it a
one
down. Give it a one down. It was not as bad as the last one.
I hated the last one.
It was not as bad as that. It was better than the first two.
I hated those also.
It was just about as good as the third one.
It's funny because the last one was a deal breaker for me, which I set my foot down. I'm like, I will not see another Harry Potter movie.
Yeah.
And I almost ended up seeing it, this latest one, because of the trailer. But luckily, Dan, the photographer, was around
and
hadn't seen Transformers 2, so he saved me.
Yeah, he threw you off of that grenade.
Yeah. I think this was a deal breaker for Stevie.
Really? She won't see the sixth one?
She's kind of irritated with this movie.
See, I didn't think it was that bad. I seriously think it's just barely not as good as the third one.
She was saying that it seems like every movie Harry Potter decides to hate his friends or turn his back on his friends.
Yes.
And then at the end, they help him out and then he's grateful. Like,
yes.
It seems like it happens every...
It does. And it happens in the books, too. So that's...
Oh.
I think it's because he's a kid. That's the best I can answer for that one.
Yes.
Yeah, he's angsty and he's kind of a jerk and there's not really a lot to recommend Harry. But you know what? He actually calls himself out on that in this movie. They're like, Harry, you've gone up against the Dark Wizard so much. Why don't you teach us? He's like, you know, a lot of that was luck. And I always had friends helping me out. So it was cool that he kind of...
So get away from me.
So get away from me. Friends, I hate you. So you know what? The sixth one, fortunately kind of drops a lot of that, the sixth book. He starts to mature, but like...
So we have two more of these movies?
Two more of these movies, which I will go to, whether or not you or Stevie are there. But I enjoyed it. It was a lot of good eye candy, very slow. It definitely took its time for anything to happen. Jocelyn and I had a debate about it last night, because I was saying that the evil character in the book...
Voldemort?
No. She's, I guess, less evil. She's more of like a dick. She works for the government, and she gets sent to the school, and she starts fucking putting everyone under her thumb and keeping them down. And she's just a heinous bitch. She's totally irritating in the movie. And I thought that played it well, because I hated it. She's one of those characters where, oh, I hate that crusty Dean so much. Oh, I hope she gets her just desserts. She's like that. So I think they played that well, because I was hating the hell out of her. But Jocelyn was like, no, in the book she's like explicitly stated as being totally ugly and powerful. And in this movie she's kind of not ugly at all, and she's more like one of those people that doesn't know what they're doing. Just kind of a jerk. So
Is that the Miranda Richardson character? Wasn't she like
No,
a...
she was also kind of a secondary evil character.
Huh.
But her shit just got canceled out. Like, she was like sitting there bugging them in the movie, and then we never saw her again. That's bad storytelling.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened in this movie. There was the Scottish Chinese girl?
Sure.
Chinese girl with a Scottish accent, which is adorable, I have to tell you. She becomes a plot point, essentially, and then is never dealt with again. And then,
is it in like the next story or something?
It's not in the story. They invented that for the movie,
and then didn't do anything.
Like, she becomes a plot point, and then that plot point resolves itself when she's not on screen, and no mention of her or that plot point is made again. It's like they were like, and I guess we got more time, so see you later, folks. Roll credits.
Poochie died on his way to his home planet.
That's exactly. So I say it's a want sideways, and what'll turn it up or down is if you're a Harry Potter fan. If you like the books or if you like the movies, you'll go see it. And if you know,
and if you're like me, you won't.
You won't. Yeah. And there's nothing in me reviewing it that would change anyone's mind on that.
Yeah.
So
I mean, chances are also like. You've probably already seen the movie.
Yeah, nobody's on the fence for Harry Potter.
Yeah.
No one's sitting there thinking, well, I saw the last four, but I don't know. Or sitting there thinking, well, I have the seventh book reserved at Borders, but maybe I'll stay home. So, you know, I guess I'm just being totally noncommittal by not giving it a review.
Yeah.
We gave ourselves an up or down system and I went sideways.
Yeah.
I'll give it a wands up for me.
Okay.
Wands up for me.
Awesome. All right.
So that's that. Yeah.
Let's get to it.
Okay.
All right.
Are you leaning back now?
I'm leaning back.
I'm not convinced. I've had bad luck with aphrodisiacs before.
I don't know.
It's from the episode where Homer and Grandpa try to sell their tonic that's supposed to help men get a little in their, cocks.
There's 18 years of history that you know a lot more of than I do.
The Simpsons is one of my favorite television shows of all time. And this is, normally do a Lost podcast, which is also one of my favorite TV shows, seriously, of all time.
Yeah.
It's definitely in the top five, but The Simpsons is like my number one, my one and only.
Which, I mean, it's hard to compete with something that's been around over like half your life.
That's true. Yeah, The Simpsons premiered in December of 1989 as its own show. Before that, it was shorts on The Tracey Ullman Show, as everyone knows.
Yeah.
People, when we went to that Quickie Mart, there are people there that literally were born after The Simpsons started.
I went with my nephews. And they're all fired up on getting pink donuts and Buzz Cola.
Yeah. And it's been funny almost consistently.
Uh-huh.
It's had some seasons and episodes that weren't as good as others. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I've dug every minute of it. And it's become something that I just, if I can't liken a situation to a Simpsons episode, then I must really be lost.
Uh-huh. So, what we're planning on doing here, because this is our, essentially, I don't know.
It's like a tribute. It's like a tribute. And
Ben loves the show so much. I like The Simpsons a lot, but I haven't been following it the entire time. So what we're going to do is both Ben and I each had made a list, and Ben has chosen his top. How many you got there?
Five.
His top five favorite Simpsons episodes of all time, roughly.
Roughly.
I know you had some trouble because it is. How many episodes now? 400 and...
400. 450? God, no.
No, they just had their 400th episode season.
Yeah.
How many did they have after the episode 24?
Yeah.
So they're up there. I decided to go with favorite Simpsons side characters. Let's just call them side characters.
Side characters.
So let's do this. How about we do this way?
Okay.
We'll go from our list, obviously, from 5 to 1.
Uh-huh.
Let's start with you. Your number five, then we'll go to my number five.
Okay.
And we'll just shoot back and forth, and we'll converse about each of ours.
Okay.
Until we get to our number ones.
Okay, cool. This is also for the Simpsons movie coming out.
Yes.
That's why it's relevant now.
Ben sent me a text message on Sunday. no, on Saturday, mentioning, hey, we should do a Simpsons podcast before Comic-Con.
Before the movie.
Yeah, before the movie. And since...
Since we're going to Comic-Con right after this. This is our last show.
Yeah, so this is actually a show I don't think we were actually going to record this week.
No.
But, yeah, I like the idea, so...
It's funny. It's
I was like, let's go for it.
I was there at dinner with my parents. So I should have been paying attention to them and eating my food, but I was setting all this up with Ralph. Okay, I'm going to start off with a cheat. I'm going to cheat and do an honorable mention.
Okay.
And the only reason behind this is it took a lot for me to get it down to 5 episodes.
Uh-huh.
And I know that I'm missing some that I probably like better than some of these.
Uh-huh.
But there's this one that I could not put it on my top 5, but I have to mention it because it's a really good episode. It's called Last Exit to Springfield.
Okay.
It's the one where Homer becomes the labor president.
Is that a dental plan?
That's one of the reasons.
All right.
Dental plan.
Lisa needs braces.
It's Homer is going over and over two disparate thoughts, and his brain needs to make the connection between the two of them, and he can't because he's dumb.
Well, not only because he's dumb, because he gets distracted.
And he gets distracted.
A pencil in his butt crack from Lenny.
Which is a great trick. Didn't you do that to Matt at spring training?
No, it was a Michigan and UCLA game. It was the hottest day of the year, and it was a water bottle.
Oh, well, he should have appreciated it.
It was giant. I was shoving all kinds of stuff in that ultraviolet fan's ass, and he was not happy because it was so hot. I don't think he mined the ice in his ass.
He's like, try it later, try it later.
I tried it later.
There's an excellent section in there. Have you seen this one in a while? Well, probably not in a long time, huh?
I don't know.
It was there's an excellent section in there where Lisa has to go get braces at a cheap dentist.
Oh yeah, and do they do? Oh okay, go for it.
So it's like Yellow Submarine because she's high on the nitrous.
That's
or whatever.
Right.
And then it goes straight from this Yellow Submarine parody into a Batman parody, the Michael Keaton Batman. She's the mirror.
Mirror. Yeah, that's right.
She breaks it. It's just I thought that was brilliant. And it's also a big one in my family. My brothers, anytime I want to, I can tell them, Homer, organized labor has been compared to a lumbering dinosaur, and have them go, ah! And then say, my producer's saying not to speak to you anymore, and have them say, woohoo. So, it's like a Johnson family favorite. And also, Entertainment Weekly, in the year 2003, named it the best Simpsons episode ever.
Oh, really?
And it was written by Jake Hogan and Wally Wolodarski.
Wally Wolodarski, he's buddies with Wes Anderson.
Yeah. He's he stopped working on the show for a while, but they still reference him. There was a random Super Bowl episode where Wally Wolodarski was a character.
Yeah. One of the characters from Life Aquatic's named after Wally Wolodarski.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's one of the crewmen of the...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Should I just keep on going and do number 5?
Yeah, go unless I can... Think of an honorable mention off the top of my head, but I can't.
You can't? Really. Okay.
How about Carl?
Carl. Carl Carlson.
Carl Carlson is going to be my honorable mention. Friend of Lenny and
Homer. He's the quiet one.
Carl equals black, Lenny equals white.
Is that right? You see, black people have names like Carl, but white people have names like Lenny. There's one episode where Carl starts getting just really mean to people, tells Mo that he's ugly, tells Homer that he's fat and bald, tells Barney that he's an alcoholic, and the camera goes in on him, and he looks right at the camera and says, see, this is why I don't talk much.
Awesome. All right, get to your number 5.
Number 5, Weekend at Bernsey's. A 13th season episode that aired in 2002.
Jesus. That was 5 years ago.
That was 5 years ago, and that's the latest episode I could put on here. There's a couple others that I really wanted to, but I just had to.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it.
You got to go with the classics.
Yeah, I really did. So Homer comes home to find that Marge has put up a scarecrow to keep crows out of her vegetable garden.
Okay.
And he thinks it's another man, or he thinks it's this terrifying pumpkin head figure, so he attacks it and becomes the crow's savior. And the crows all hang out with him, and they become like his army of crows, bringing him donuts and beer and porn.
So is this a Treehouse of Horror?
No, this is a real episode. That's just how it goes. And he's got this army of crows on him, and he finally pisses them off, and they peck at his eyes really bad, so he has to go on medical marijuana.
I think I remember that episode. Jeez Louise.
It's all got some great trip-out sequences when he thinks he's shaving, and like rainbows start pouring out of his face instead of blood.
I told Stevie the other day because I recently shaved my beard that I look like Homer when he shaves.
Because it comes back instantly.
No, it just looks like it. Like my chin does the same thing that his does. What else you got for that one?
There's at the very end, everyone thinks Burns is dead.
Uh-huh.
And there's a meeting of the stockholders. So Smithers manipulates Burns like a marionette, which is why it's called Weekend at Burnsies.
Uh-huh.
It does a little dance routine, which is hilarious. And the crowd that they're supposed to be mollifying stands up and says, "We are mollified." It's written by Michael Marcantel, and it guest stars Fish, the band that I really enjoy.
Uh-huh.
And Fish, actually, one of the lead singer, has the line, "And now here's a real potheed." Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That should be Pothead.
I was just going to call you a potheed because of all the drug references.
I know. I really
like
this weed episode.
And I was going to ask you, what episode was that from?
There you go.
There you go.
Right there. Weekend at Burnsies.
All right. I'm going to go with my number five favorite side character because The Simpsons, I mean, obviously are.
Yeah, you can't pick Homer.
But these are just random characters that show up every now and then that always make me laugh.
Okay.
Number five is the classic Duff Man.
Yes.
The Duff Man is a character that, does he still show up on the show?
Yeah, from time to time.
And he's based on a character that is a reference from probably 1993.
Yeah, at least.
Because there used to be a Budman, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, that's what cracks me up about The Simpsons, is they have these characters and these situations and jokes that are completely not relevant anymore,
but
they're
still,
funny. Around.
Yeah. And he's outlived his source material. So, Duff Man thrusts in the direction of the problem. So there was Duff an episode Man. Recently that featured no less than three Duff Men.
Really?
On screen at the same time.
Was Homer ever a Duff Man?
No. God, that'd be a good episode.
It's bound to happen.
It's going
to
happen sooner or later on a long enough timeline. Duff Man. Barry Duffman.
Is that his name?
That's one of them, yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, good.
They pass the mantle on like the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Oh, okay.
He says, "Duff Man can never die, only the actor playing him."
All right, go to your number four.
Okay, I also have, I put in a couple of things that are great gags. Because I'm cheating so hard.
All right.
But one of my favorite gags is in the episode Dumbbell Indemnity, where Mo wants Homer to wreck his car so he can get the insurance money.
Uh-huh.
So Homer gets everyone's attention. Mo has an alibi, and Homer's about to drive the car into the lake or the gorge or whatever.
Okay.
And as the car is rolling down the hill, he jumps out of the door, uh-huh. rolls down the hill, and up a slanted rock and back into the car, and
yes.
the car door shuts. And it's hard to explain, but it's maybe my favorite visual gag on the whole show. Okay, episode number four.
All right.
King Size Homer.
Yes.
That's from the seventh season. It aired in 1995. You were in high school, dickhead.
I was. What was the date?
Before.
Wait, you had a date? What did you just say?
It was in 1995.
Oh, I thought you said a date.
No.
You're
right. You could have been out of high school.
Barely out of high school.
At the most.
If the season goes to late May, then I would have still been. But.
Yeah. So, yeah, Homer has to gain weight to get on disability. God,
well, he doesn't have to.
No, that's a good point. He chooses to.
So he can work at home.
With that little bird.
Yeah.
He uses the drinking bird to press the button, which is cool because that's a callback to...
Does he get replaced by Stuart in that episode?
No, that's a different one.
Oh, Jesus. So many reasons why Homer doesn't work.
He gains weight. There's that whole sequence of him eating and... trying to pick what's good by rubbing it on paper or rubbing it on
the wall
at the Krusty Burger. But I think my favorite shot in that whole episode is when he goes shopping for a Moomoo.
Uh-huh.
He looks so retardedly happy in that whole scene. The guy's showing him all the things that fat people can wear, and he's just got a grin a mile wide. I love that episode. It's written by Dan Greaney. Giving awesome. Prop to the writers.
A Greaney. That's something in high school that we called a loogie. My number four character, and I wanted to give a shout out to Phil Hartman because he's awesome on the show.
Good call.
And I picked my favorite Phil Hartman character, which is Troy McClure.
Nice.
I thought about Lionel Hutz, but Troy McClure, his all the movie titles
yeah.
or self-help videos or whatever.
Or educational film strips.
Yeah, are just absolutely brilliant.
Gladys the Groovy Mule.
I Can't think of any off the top of the head. But
The Decapitation of Johnny Leadfoot is one of his like driver's ed films.
I like that title.
And the one that Homer is watching, Good Time Stew. Wait, Uncle Doobie and the Great Frisco Freakout.
Awesome. Yeah. You want to get to your number three?
I have another honorable mention.
All right.
My other honorable mention is Marge versus the Monorail.
Okay.
And I only wanted to put that one in there because I realized I hadn't put a Conan O'Brien episode. And he wrote that one.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Guest star Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
Who I like. But
and it's Phil Hartman's The Monorail.
Yeah, Lyle Lantley. I've sold monorails.
That's
yeah.
Awesome.
And that one they keep calling back to because he mentions the three towns that he's sold monorails to. And even to this most recent season, someone will mention Rockton or North Haverbrook. Or
you'll see like remnants of the monorail.
Yeah.
In shots.
Yeah. My number three episode is El Viaje Misterioso de Nuestro Homer.
Is that the one where he freaks out on chili?
Yeah. Yeah.
You are a Potheed.
I am a Potheed.
That's not like one of the funnier episodes, but visually it's awesome.
Exactly.
And then is it Johnny Cash?
Johnny Cash is the space coyote. It would have scored higher with me, but the third act is just like him trying to get back together with Marge again.
Uh-huh.
So and that they've done that plot to death. I mean, it's cute because they decide that they are soulmates.
Well, to be fair, the show has been on how many years? I mean, how many times has Flight of the Conchords broken up in the last five episodes?
Did she leave the band last week?
So.
Homer goes to a chili cook-off. Just Marge trying to hide the fact that it's in town. Ralph Wiggum, when Homer goes to drink a candle, and Ralph Wiggum's, "No, mister, you don't want to drink that. You'd get wax in your mouth. You don't want that, do you?" Just random and helpful. The scene where Homer trips out on drugs is awesome.
It's not drugs. It's the chili,
it's
right?
The insanity peppers. The Guatemalan insanity peppers of Quetzalcoatlango. This one was written by Ken Keeler, who did a lot of work on Futurama. And he's on a lot of commentaries on The Simpsons.
Oh, cool. My number three character is Ralph Wiggum.
That's great timing.
If you guys listened to the beginning of the show, the song we played was Ralph Wiggum by Bloodhound Gang. And the entire song is composed by quotes from Ralph Wiggum, except for the chorus,
which is from Clancy.
Chief Wiggum line, right? But I mean, you have to agree. Like anybody who saw the most recent trailer for the Simpsons movie has to laugh when Ralph is standing in the zero of 20th Century Fox singing Alfred Newman's 20th Century Fox Fanfare. And then as soon as he's finished with it, he quickly scurries out of view.
He goes back to the other side of the, oh God, that shit is funny.
So nothing. I mean, right now, yeah, he's number three and
Ralph Wiggum is a great character.
Pretty strong.
He's a lot of fun.
And his name is my name.
Yeah.
Halfway.
If they had a Ben, then we could do a picture of Ralph Wiggum and a picture of a Ben for our logo.
Is there any characters named Ben?
There's Gentle Ben.
Ben Stiller was on the show.
Ben Stiller was on the show. There's Gentle Ben. Did you see that one?
I don't know.
He had like a talk show and he would walk around the audience.
Yes.
No, Ben. No. And there's there's Ben Vincenziano. Marge buys a magazine from a guy one time and he's like, "Here you go, Mrs. Simpson." And she says, "Thanks, Ben Vincenziano."
That's awesome.
It's a long name. Okay, here's another great gag.
Okay.
From the episode called Brother's Little Helper, which is, I consider it like a later episode, but I'm sure it's already like 8 years old.
Yeah.
And to me, I remember it being like, hey, the show's back. It was like one of the first episodes of the season.
Uh-huh.
And I think the season before had tanked a bit in my mind. Bart's taking pills, kind of like Ritalin.
Oh, yes.
Trying to focus.
Yes.
He's taking focus in. And the next morning after they finally get him to take the pills, Marge asks how he's feeling. He says, "All I know is my testicles won't fit in my underwear. He's got these giant bulges." And she says, "Give me those oranges back." And she hands them to her. And she puts them in the lunches for Bart and Lisa. So I think it might be the only time Bart says testicles. And that's a good gag. Okay. My number two episode.
All right.
You Only Move Twice.
This is a James Bond reference?
Yes.
Is with Scorpio?
Scorpio.
I've only seen this episode like maybe twice.
It's really funny.
I'll have to watch it again.
It's really funny.
What season is it from?
Eighth season from 1996.
Oh, okay, so I don't have it on my DVDs.
Yet. Albert Brooks as Scorpio is hilarious.
Uh-huh.
At the beginning, they're trying to get Smithers to work for Scorpio.
Uh-huh.
And they say that there's health benefits for him and his life partner. Just another nod to the fact that Smithers is gay.
Uh-huh.
And then Homer, when he gets the job offer, tells Marge that he could have benefits for his life partner. Which is, you could say it about straight people.
Yeah.
And that's the one with the joke about the hammock district. Like, Homer wants to buy hammocks for his workers, and his boss, Scorpio, the supervillain, tells him, you can go to Marianne's Hammocks, which is on 3rd. You can go to Hammocks R Us, which is on 3rd. Basically, they're all on 3rd.
You know, hammock, yeah.
The hammock district, which is a great gag. And this was the only one on my list written by John Swartzwelder.
Huh.
Which, if you had asked me, I would say he's my favorite writer, but...
I think he'd be everyone's favorite writer, because he kind of really goes
bulk of the
there.
Series, dude.
Yeah. My number two is a character that I believe only showed up once.
Oh, jeez.
But every time I see it, it makes me laugh.
Okay.
And it's Guy Incognito. You just buried your head in response to my...
I felt dumb because you told me that one yesterday and I forgot it.
Because essentially at the top of everybody's list should be probably Homer.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, nothing compares to Homer.
Yeah.
But since I wasn't doing Simpsons, Guy Incognito, when he shows up into Moe's bar and gets denied, it cracks me up. Because that's something Homer would pull.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But to see that Homer didn't actually try to do that.
No, he's just a random guy.
It just makes me laugh. Yeah, you wouldn't happen to know what episode that's in it, would you?
Homer gets kicked out of Moe's bar. Fear of Flying.
Okay.
It's in Fear of Flying because he gets kicked out of Moe's bar and has to go to a bunch of different bars and ends up at the pilot bar.
Got
and
it.
And they put him on the plane, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. But hello, my name is Guy Incognito.
A Guy Incognito looks just like Homer, except he's got a monocle.
A mustache.
Like a handlebar mustache.
A handlebar mustache. And
a top hat.
And he's dressed fancy. Yeah, he's got like a top hat and a fancy suit.
Oh, man.
You know, funny story. My first car was named Homer.
Yes.
It was a Ford Maverick. So then when I got my second car, which is a Japanese car, a Honda Civic, I named it Mr. Sparkle, because Mr. Sparkle is essentially the Japanese Homer.
Yeah.
When Seth got his car, which was a Honda Civic, and he realized he was copying me, he named his car Guy Incognito.
Oh, awesome.
So that's Seth's car's name.
I didn't know that.
All right.
Guy Incognito. He needs to come back.
Yeah. Maybe he'll be in the movie. I bet everyone's going to be in the movie.
If he's in the movie,
that'll be awesome.
It'll be the greatest movie this summer, next to Transformers. All right.
I'm now up to my number one.
Oh, this is your number one.
Yeah.
Do you want to go through your number one first, or do you want to go through mine first?
I'll do mine.
Okay. There's it might no be anticlimactic because, I mean...
No, dude. Okay, there's no need to change it up now.
Go for it.
My number one episode of all, time apparently...
Was this an easy one to pick?
No.
Okay.
And, catch me on another week. It might be a different one.
Yeah.
But this one has been consistently one of my favorite, which is a shame because they stopped showing it on syndication after the events of September 11th. It's The City of New York versus Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
It's from the 9th season in 1997. And the reason they stopped showing it is it does feature the World Trade Center and the two towers.
Yep.
It doesn't say anything about, like, blowing them up or anything, but to be sensitive, let's not show the place where that tragedy occurred. But
I'm sure it'll show up on the DVDs.
It is on the DVDs, and it's hilarious again.
Are they up to what episode or what season?
They did 5 regular boxes and 4 faces, so they've done 9. So, yeah, that's the most recent season that I have. Homer gets wicked wasted, and Barney is the designated driver, and Duffman shows up.
Yes.
And Barney can't have any Duff. It's Duffman, the guy who creates awareness of Duff. And so Barney's stuck as the DD, just going crazy, and he finally drops them off and goes on a bender and steals Homer's car and parks it at World Trade Center Plaza. And
it gets a boot.
It gets booted, and they have to go get it. You should wait here for parking officer Steve Grabowski. From that episode, Homer has this kick-ass flashback of the first time he went to New York,
uh-huh.
where he gets his wallet stolen. He gets his camera stolen,
uh-huh.
and then as he's explaining that to a cop, the cop steals his suitcase. someone steals his wallet. Woody Allen dumps trash on him. He throws trash at a pimp and gets chased by a pimp until he falls into a sewer, and that's when the Chuds got him. So it's got a Broadway musical, a parody,
uh-huh.
which are always fun on the show. Bart goes to the offices of Mad Magazine.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to never watch these eyes again. Homer drinks crab juice.
Come on.
And it's one of the most cinematic episodes, really. The way it's, quote, shot, end quote, is really well done.
The layout's very well
done. Thank you. And it was written by Ian Maxtone Graham. Who's another one of my favorite writers on the show.
I'm not familiar. I don't keep tabs on
He's about as wacky as Schwarzwelder, but not entirely. So there we go.
Every time I drink Mountain Dew, I think of crab juice.
I think that's a natural assumption, a natural connection.
My number one character, which I'm sure you figured out
yes.
through all my clues, and I just found out his last name today is Leonard.
Yep.
But it's Springfield's favorite citizen, Lenny.
Lenny,
it's my number one favorite character.
Lenny Leonard.
Somewhere in the past 7 or 8 or 10 years, who knows?
Yeah.
Lenny has become this strange person that everybody loves.
Yeah, he's gone from just background character to background character with too much of a fan club.
Because he was, essentially, Lenny and Carl were just there to...
have work buddies for Homer.
Have something. They were there, just there, so Homer could say stupid things.
Yeah.
So he wasn't just talking to himself the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
But something happened where I think the first joke that I noticed was that someone was on the phone with Marge.
It's when Homer's trying to bowl a perfect game, and he has to tell Marge he's not coming home because uh-huh. there was an explosion at the plant, and Lenny's in the hospital.
That's right.
And she says, "Not Lenny." Not Lenny.
The camera pulls back, and they have a picture of Lenny. And it's like the only picture in their living room. It's sitting next to the phone.
She has to explain to the kids, and they say, "Not Lenny."
And since then, it's just been like to the point where, like, even Mr. Burns,
yeah,
will have concerns that something's wrong with Lenny.
Or, yeah.
There's an episode where it's one of my favorite jokes ever on The Simpsons. And it's when I believe Lisa has an eating disorder.
Yes.
And she decides to go on like some kind of midnight hunger thing.
Yeah.
She gets like the munchies. She runs down into the kitchen, opens up the refrigerator, and eats a cake that says, "Happy Labor Day, Lenny." It's like a giant cake.
They had just been baking just for Lenny.
Like fancy frosting.
Yeah.
For Labor Day, no less.
Of all the
cakes you can make,
yeah.
I think Labor Day is the one holiday you don't make a cake.
Yeah.
So Lenny's my number one because he's everybody's number one.
My head is full of so many Lenny jokes right now. He's freaking hilarious. There's been a lot of funny stuff that's happened around him.
Yeah. And,
being rescued in a helicopter by Carl. The bus boys are on strike, and so he has to carry all his groceries in his hands. No bag boys are going to stop me from throwing a casual get-together. Good old Lenny Leonard. Well done, dude. Simpsons.
All right.
So there you go. We're going to see the Simpsons movie, hopefully, while we're at Comic-Con.
We will see it, and hopefully we'll see a Batman teaser.
Yay!
We'll see what happens.
So we like to see it with the nerd crowd if we can.
Yes. We'll probably go with the Geekscape guys, so...
I'll be there. And I think when we review it, our reviews should be Doe or Woohoo.
Yes, that will be the case.
So,
what do you say we get to stick it in your queue?
Let's do it.
This is the section we call Stick It In Your Queue.
So take your queue and stick these in it.
Let's have you go first.
Okay.
Go for it.
This week I was trying to do something that was Simpsons related,
but
I couldn't really come up with anything. So
stick all seasons in your queue.
Yeah. Enjoy that. I tried to look up Simpsons writers to see if they wrote any movies that I really liked.
Oh, okay.
Bill Odenkirk did a lot of writing for the Simpsons, and he is brothers with Bob Odenkirk.
Bob Odenkirk.
Bob Odenkirk. And he did a lot of writing for a television show called Mr. Show, which aired on HBO. We talked about it last week.
Yes.
We've talked about it a lot, really. But if you haven't seen it yet, and if you got Run, Running, Run, and you liked it, or if you didn't get Run, Running, Run, you're still waiting for a suggestion that you want to give a shot, try Mr. Show Seasons 1 and 2, which you should be able to get on DVD in your queue.
Isn't Season 3 available?
Yeah, but 1 and 2 is one disc. It's like one set.
Oh, okay. So what you're
it's
trying.
Two discs, I guess, but it's like
that's
one
right.
movie.
That's right.
So, you know, get Mr. Show with Bob and David. It was a sketch comedy show that aired on HBO in like the late 90s.
Yeah.
Mid-90s.
96, 97.
Very stream of consciousness at times. A lot of in jokes, like where they would set something up and then reference it later. A lot of callbacks.
Uh-huh.
Jack Black is in an episode. Sarah Silverman was on the show. Tom Kenny, who we referred to earlier as the voice of SpongeBob. Jill Talley, who's very hilarious. Yeah, there's not much I'm going to say about it because it's just one of those things that I have every season of Mr. Show. You know, all five of them.
If you guys are fans of things that are funny,
yeah, you should check it out. Like,
it's a great show.
Maybe you saw it on HBO back in the day.
Yeah,
it might be time to watch it again.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely watch Mr. Show and let me know what you think because it's a little different than some of this. Like Ralph and I are kind of start getting away from the mainstream stuff.
Yeah.
As this segment gets older and older, so.
Be very afraid come January.
Yeah, at some point we're going to get into movies that only we like.
Yeah.
Or movies that we don't even like that are so bad it's good. Or you know, that website that I was looking at, it talks about so bad it's good, and then its corollary, which is so bad it's horrible.
Yeah.
So
I've seen a couple of those.
Now, I'm not trying to say Mr. Show is bad or anything. I'm just saying that maybe it doesn't have the same universal appeal as some stuff.
Yeah.
But if you like sketch comedy.
It's a definite specific type of humor. So it's one of those things where it's totally I'm on board with it, but some people may not be.
Yeah,
like maybe people from Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah, because it does get into the swearing, but they work blue, and I love it, and it's fun. It varies from just super dumb to being really, really intelligent. So
yeah,
check out Mr. Show with Bob and David.
Definitely stick that in your queue.
Stick it in your queue.
Since we were doing a Simpsons theme, though, what I thought I would do is for a Q suggestion was another animated series, much like The Simpsons, that did not last as long as The Simpsons has. It only lasted 6 episodes, and it aired only... No, there's only... They only made 6 episodes.
Right.
There was only 2 that aired on ABC, out of order. It is a show by Kevin Smith and company. It's Clerks, the animated series. And it is available on DVD, all 6 episodes, Clerks the Animated Series, uncensored, quote, end quote. and it's a show that, if you're a Kevin Smith fan, you'll definitely enjoy. If you're an average TV viewer who kind of likes, you know, the more adult oriented animated TV shows, you might get a kick out of it. I'd say the first episode's a little... too much setup, not as much funny, but I think that the second episode makes up for the first episode.
Yeah.
Because of the nature of the
what
that episode is.
What it is. You know, you don't even really have to be a Kevin Smith fan to enjoy it because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But if you're like a fan of old TV or, you know, deconstructing the TV cliches and archetypes, they hit everything. They hit a clip show.
Yeah.
They hit like celebrity guest stars, movie takeoffs. It's got a lot of broad appeal.
Yeah. Anyone who's visited, darmlars.net cinema page,
there's
a clip that Ryan really enjoys that we really enjoy, where it's the Clerks, who's Brian O'Halloran and, Jeff Anderson, on a panel at a place very similar to Comic-Con. Very similar. In fact, the exterior shot is identical to Comic-Con. And it's that clip specifically, if you guys are at Comic-Con and you're hanging out with us, you will hear us quote that non-stop.
Yeah.
If we're anywhere near a panel,
we will
see what's going on in that specific ballroom, look at who's in it, and make a question based on who it is in there in that tone of voice.
In that exact tone of voice. It's something that we can't stop doing. Like, we'll either be saying that or asking if anyone likes cake.
Yeah.
The whole weekend. Yeah, that's a good show. I was going to put that one in my segment eventually, so you fucking you beat me to the punch. Asshole.
It was the only one I could think of Simpsons related. It's animated.
Because it's animated.
TV. Yeah. And it's also, because it's only six episodes, it's not something that you have to invest a lot of time in.
Yeah.
Like, if we were to say, hey, you should watch The Simpsons, well, that's like 400 episodes.
Like, in January, when I do my special Futurama episode,
I wouldn't
ask you to put any of those in your queue, because
there's
a lot of discs.
Yeah.
You know, but it's all good, honey.
Go to your Netflix queue. It'll probably be a two-part series.
Discs. Yeah.
There's Jay and Silent Bob are in it.
And Silent Bob is hilarious.
And if you like Jay and Silent Bob, their bumpers in between each episode, they introduce each episode, are very, very funny.
Live action.
A lot of cursing. Also in the show, you get voice actors like
Judge Reinhold.
You get Judge Reinhold playing himself. You get, Alec Baldwin as Leonardo.
Hilarious.
Gilbert Gottfried in his greatest role ever, hands down. Gilbert Gottfried is amazing. I'm not going to ruin the surprise. I recommend, maybe if Ryan, for our Q page this week, maybe we'll see what he puts in the as the video for that. That
would be awesome.
But if he does put Gilbert Gottfried, I'd be okay with that, because it's hilarious. So anyway, Clerks the Animated Series, uncensored, sticking in your queue. I think you'll enjoy it.
It's perfect for people like us. It's perfect for like the 30-something people that have grown up with our background, because it references, you know, all of the pop culture that we've been steeped in our whole lives. From everything from Todd Browning's Freaks to Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
To Bad News Bears.
Yeah, and that might all be in... Oh, that's in two episodes.
That's in two episodes,
episode. Everything.
Last Starfighter.
Yeah.
I fucking get it.
Yeah. Second in your queue, suckas. And also, if your name happens to be Jack, if you happen to be a married man, you should really look into getting Out of Sight, because you should check it out. Still. Go do that.
Yeah. Was...
I'm waiting to hear your response on that. And if you're a guy that happens to be named Jay...
Who's not married.
Watch Arrested Development.
There you go.
That goes for the rest of you guys. All right, and that's Stick It in Your Queue.
All right.
Well, Mr. Burns had done it. The power plant had won it. All right. So anyway, we didn't have a two-minute debate last week. We're not going to do one again this week. We plan on doing a Hans Zimmer one. But
see, the thing is, Ralph and I are about to go on a trip together. We're going to go all the way to San Diego, go to Comic-Con. We don't want to start it off with bad feelings about disagreeing on something.
So what's going to end up happening is I'm hoping Ryan puts up another boat.
Another fake debate boat.
This past week was soup, salad, or super salad. And it looks like Super Salad won with 101 votes.
There you go. So, you know, thank you for voting. Even though we didn't do a real debate, thank you for voting on the fake one.
Yeah, you stopped by our page when we didn't even ask you to. So that's cool. I mean,
Dharmalars.net, it's always there. And Ryan said today, like this weekend, on an email that he's going to start putting up pictures of fans.
Awesome.
Their shirts.
Awesome.
Did you see that email?
Dude, my email's been real scatterbrained lately. I'm glad that... you guys are backing me up on that.
Operator error there.
I'm just like, I've been fried.
I want to talk about some of the phone calls we got last week.
Okay.
I
can't wait. It was one of my favorite You All Everybody segments, or the Lars Line segments.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
There's a little bit of racism in there with the kamikaze con or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But
you got to let people do what they're going to do.
Yeah. I'm not going to censor.
Brian, not Brian Kincaid, another Brian was talking about Transformers.
Yes.
And how it was all GM cars.
Yes.
And we shouldn't blame Volkswagen for not being in it. I don't think it was necessarily that GM threw more dollars around. I thought I read somewhere that Volkswagen doesn't want to be associated with guns.
And violence,
And violence. So that's what we were referring to.
You heard that from me. One of the things with movies is that you essentially have to do a contract with one company.
Yeah.
You don't want to put... like a Coke and a Pepsi product in there.
Because they won't let it.
In Goldfinger, and this is every subsequent Bond film, in Goldfinger, all Ford automobiles.
There you go.
And that was in 1963.
So there's an example.
No,
right?
64. I'm sorry. And then even to this day, Ford owns Aston Martin. So Aston Martin fronts the cash for Casino Royale. If he's not driving his Aston Martin, he's driving a Ford.
Yeah.
It's all Ford automobiles.
So that's what that weird rental car was?
Yeah.
Some random Ford.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the same guy that laughed about Bond driving that BMW.
Yeah, that's another thing. If you notice those Pierce Brosnan ones where they went with BMW, it was all BMW. And then the Aston Martin they used was the old.
Like they still have the
1964
rights for it, kind of thing.
Aston Martin that wasn't competing with BMW at the time.
I mean, I noticed what he was saying about the GM cars, and that's true. Yeah. The movie was full of them, but specifically. Volkswagen opted out because of the violence thing.
Yeah.
At least that's the urban legend that we are perpetuating.
Yeah. Well, that's the reason why Bumblebee hasn't been a Volkswagen bug since the 80s.
The cartoons.
Yeah. The subsequent incarnations of the Transformers. Bumblebee has been other vehicles.
Yeah.
I've seen him as a Mini Cooper.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
So.
Nathan in L.A.
Okay.
He was the one that was talking about the Ewoks.
Yes.
He listed many, many reasons that show you why Return of the Jedi is not as good of a film as some of the Star Wars films.
You really helped my case.
And everything he said is exactly right. I mean,
and more well-spoken than my
Well, he had more than a minute.
Yeah, it's true.
So, you know, he had some good points. And you know, there's not much I can say. But he also defended the prequels, which was cool, too, I thought. Because,
yeah.
I mean, he was making the point that they're just as campy and cheesy as the originals. Just we haven't been watching the prequels since the day we were born.
My nephews, who are now 13 and 10,
love the prequels.
It. Yeah,
it's
they
Star
love
Wars.
It as much as I loved the Star Wars when I was
yeah.
kid. So who am I to complain?
And I don't very often.
I don't want to be a crotchety old man, but you know, hey.
And someone called in to say that Brick was great.
Yeah, a lot. We've been getting a lot of emails.
A lot of response
for
Brick. Yeah.
So, wow.
You know, it was a really. Low budget movie and independent, and you know I think it's cool that
I think that adds to the movie.
It does definitely.
Like, there's something about it, the low budget.
It's kind of gritty,
and
it should be because it's he's down to the ground and he's trying to figure shit out.
And there's something about the score as well because the person who called in to talk about Brick, was playing Brick music behind him.
Yeah,
there's something about that score that's also very low key that I really like.
Yeah,
it's not a big, huge orchestra. It's nice. Like, everything about it's intimate.
I don't buy scores very often, but I came very close to buying that one.
You should turn in your change.
Yeah, I'll turn in my change. Well, no, because I would want to buy it in such a form that we can maybe use it on the show. Because that would be good stuff to play behind the listener segment.
I can get around that. So
Chocolate Moose called in.
Yeah.
To talk in about, quote, Cloverfield.
Yeah,
quote.
And Brian Kincaid.
And Brian Kincaid.
Now, this guy, I don't know. Brian, if you're out there, call back, because I was laughing. It was very entertaining.
Well, you know.
The fact, I mean, just that, it just cracks me up that, I see Transformers 3 times already, and I never thought of it as being offensive.
No,
but when I heard him say that, I've never heard anyone say that a robot is offensive before.
Yeah,
and that made me laugh.
You know, it's funny because we swear all the time, but you know, we're human, so it's different.
And
so.
I never think that a robot swear like a robot swearing, and it didn't even dawn on me when I saw the movie.
Yeah,
and
it's a good thing he left when he did, because the masturbation scene was next.
Yes.
So, phew, dodged a bullet there, BK.
Yeah. So anyway,
speaking of BK, they're gonna start doing Simpsons stuff soon, I bet. Because that thing that Mike sent a friend of ours sent out a website today. I think it's called SimpsonizeMe.com.
Uh huh.
You can upload a picture of yourself, and apparently it renders it as a Simpsons drawing.
Oh, that's easier.
It's from Burger King.
Okay.
And Burger King always did like promotions with them for Treehouse of Horror. So I'm hoping that there will be Simpsons toys at my local Burger King.
Shoot, that means I need to rush out and get those Transformers toys before those go away.
Yeah, because I would imagine that transition would be maybe this week.
The Transformers transition. So that's all we have.
Yeah.
I'm ready to take off. What do you say we promote our shirts?
Yeah, let's pimp our shit.
ShopSalmon8.com. We haven't really gotten any pictures this week. Send some pictures in, guys. We'll put them up on our MySpace page. I put a picture of me in my shirt. What I want to do, what I see is the ideal thing to happen.
Yeah.
Is our top friends page
is all people.
Is everybody promoting their shirts
That'd
or showing off their shirts. So we'll create a little Dharmalarmy.
That's nice. If you get a Dharmalar shirt and you take a picture of yourself wearing it, put that as your default photo.
I know it sounds like I'm just trying to get people to advertise for us by doing that.
But think of how cool it would be.
Think how cool it would look if everybody was in a yellow shirt and we had this Dharmalarmy.
Just like people that you know maybe don't even know each other. They just listen to our show.
I'm going
to
change that folder, on our MySpace page from Dharmalar fans to Dharmalarmy.
You all now have an official name. So there you go.
Yes, which I think is more flattering or more nice than Dharmatards, which we have said before. So shopsaminate.com, for those of you listening on iTunes, go ahead and click on the album art now where it says Booger.
Booger,
And then it'll direct you to the shop.
We haven't gotten the golden ticket back yet, so
no.
It's still out there.
It's still out there.
That's the fun prize that you might win when you order a shirt.
Yeah.
Amy ordered one. I'm looking forward to that picture.
Visit us at scottanddeepsteve.blogspot.com to see why I'm laughing at that comment.
Sorry. I'm sorry for being so creepy to you, Amy.
No, it's great.
But, you know, seriously.
It adds to the character that you portray on this show.
That's right, yeah. I'm not. This is
really, Ben is different from...
Yeah. No, this is like a caricature of myself.
Yeah. So that's all I got.
Ralph,
I know what I'm going out on.
Ralph has a movie to go out on. This is going to be it from us, guys. We will not talk to you again until we record at Comic-Con.
Oh, by the way, shit, we better mention this.
What's that?
If you guys want to watch us record at Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah.
Directly following the Lost panel on Thursday at Comic-Con at 6:30.
It ends at 6:30.
Around 7 o'clock. We will be in the autograph hall at
upstairs.
One of the circular tables with our studio, quote, unquote, and we will record our episode on the autograph floor. You can sit around the table. You can jump on the mic with us, be part of Dharmalar's history.
Yeah.
And we'll see you at Comic-Con, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
If you have any questions about the autograph hall, send us an email at dharmalars@gmail.net.
Tom.
Shit. dharmalars@gmail.com.
Yeah.
If you want to visit us on the net, dharmalars.net.
That's right.
If you want to give us a phone call, did you already give the phone line?
No. Give us a phone call at 206-338-4261.
Visit us at MySpace, myspace.com/dharmalars.
And we're really looking forward to seeing some of you at Comic-Con. If you see us, walk up to us.
Yeah.
You know, since we won't recognize you.
Yeah.
unless you've posted your picture.
Of you and your Dharmalar shirt on our MySpace page.
That's right. Okay, guys. We'll talk to you later. It's been fun. Look forward to that Simpsons movie. It's going to be awesome. I feel it in my boner. So for all of us here at the Dharmalar's Mansion, we're just about to take a road trip. Lars de la Vista.
I think I bent my Wookiee.
Hey, what's up, Ralph and Ben? This is Dre calling out at Lee. Battery. I don't know how I managed to lose 800 bucks, but hey, whatever. So I didn't get to see Transformers, but I'm going to see Saturday. I'm going to see that Saturday, Rome 4801 or whatever, or 1408 or whatever it's called. What else? Oh, and Henry of the Potter. Okay. Now, I appreciate you guys not trying to spoil the movie. You know, two things. Okay. One, everybody that hated the movie didn't hate it because they didn't like it. It's because they hated it because they felt like it wasn't true to Transformers. But everybody that liked the damn movie, that got over the little, you know, things, the little things about the movie, love the damn movie. And they also are saying that they're going to see it again. So, I mean, I guess that's a great thing. Now, the thing is, the question I have is that on, if you guys got there for the preview, okay, there was this one preview that I'm hearing about where it looks like it was shot almost like a, you got to excuse the background noise because it's I'm at work, you know. Anyway, so, yeah, it was this commercial where it was a handheld camera. People were saying that, first of all, that this trailer or teaser or whatever was made by J.J. Abrams for a movie or whatever he's working on. But they said that it was shot, it was playing with Transformers, and that it was shot using a handheld camera, like almost similar to how the Blair Witch started. And pretty much some crap, like some fire, something about fireballs and all this other crap. And somebody mentioned, actually was on the All Games Interactive podcast, a show about video games. But the damn thing is, they were saying that it could have possibly, they said, is that a lion, okay? Now, when you think about shit that was old school that had to do, like, you know, about, you know, tie-in similar to Transformers or whatever like that, two cartoons come to mind that involve lions. It was Thundercats and it was Voltron, okay? Actually shooting fireballs was more Voltron, right? Red Lion, right? Or any other damn lion. But that's it. I just wanted to see if you guys seen that trailer, and if you did, I want you guys to talk about it. You know, talk about it. Tell me what you think. I know one of you guys just said it. I believe, just said he was going to see it again. So hopefully this gets to you guys in time, and I know this is, you know, a week after Transformers and whatnot, but, you know, hey. All right, I'm out. You know, I ain't got nothing to stick in the queue, so I'm going to go ahead and, I was going to say Robot Jocks, but I guess you guys already said Robot Jocks, didn't you? And that's the first stick of your freaking queue. If it wasn't, then I got it. I claim it did. You know what I'm saying? But if you did, then, you know, poo-poo on you. All right. Later, guys.
Hey guys, this is John from Daphne. I'm calling about the ticket in your queue segment. Run, Runny, Run. I have not seen that yet, but I really, really want to. I've been a big fan of Mr. Show, and but I heard that I think Bob and David said that they like disowned the movie because they weren't satisfied with how it turned out. But everything I've heard about it sounds great, so I still really want to see it. And there's still rumors going around about a Mr. Show movie, which would be awesome. And hopefully that gets made, because there needs to be more Mr. Show sketches. I have a suggestion for a movie to stick in your queue. It's an awesome 80s movie. It's The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. I don't know if you guys have heard about it, but it's the greatest 80s movie ever made, because main character Buckaroo Banzai, he's played by Peter Weller, so that automatically makes it an instant classic. He plays basically like a cowboy slash classically trained samurai slash world famous doctor slash racer slash everything, and he basically has to take on aliens, and he has a band called the Hong Kong Cavaliers. I'm sure you guys have seen it. If anybody out there who hasn't seen it, if they've seen Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, I think the ending of that movie is pretty much like an homage to the ending of Buckaroo Banzai, where all the main characters are walking to music, basically. But, yeah, whoever out there hasn't seen it just really needs to check it out, because it can't afford to be missed. Okay. Bye, guys.
Hi, Ben. Hi, Ralph. This is Kim calling from Toronto. I'm listening to your latest Lars cast. And I'm buying some cake, guys. It's hilarious. You love that food. So it is now Thursday. Still waiting for my Dharma Lars t-shirt. Yep, that's about it. Couldn't sleep. Decided to give y'all a call. Guess I'll talk to you guys later. Bye. Hey, Dharma Lars. It's him again. Just cracking up at Brian Kincaid. He sent you guys a fax. Hey, Kincaid. Welcome to 1994.
Hey, Ralph and Ben at the Lars. My name's Adam. I'm from San Francisco. I've never called your show before, and I'm actually just sort of a recent listener. I started listening at the end of Season 3 of Lost. I found out about you guys from Jay and Jack. I've been listening to them for a while and thought I'd go over to the Lars and see what's going on with you guys. And I've been enjoying myself, especially this summer, with your movie reviews and especially Stick It in Your Queue. And that's what I was going to call about today. I'm actually a couple weeks behind as far as the call. I've been hella lazy, just to give you some Northern California slang. You'll hear hella much. Anyway, but I wanted to back you guys up on a couple of things about a couple of Stick It in Your Queue segments. First of all, being Brick, which is one of my favorite movies of all time, which basically one of my buddies that I teach with, I'm a teacher, he said Stick It in Your Queue because he knew that I was way into basically, you know, movies that take an idea and twist it. So for instance, I'm a big fan of like Shakespeare adaptations, where they'll take, you know, Shakespeare play and set it in a different place, a different time. Don't really play with the language, which is nice, you know, keep it original, but then sort of twist the idea so you can see the things in a different light or different context. And that's what, for me, that's what Brick does. You take this, basically, detective story that would be very Maltese Falcon, you know, black and white, Humphrey Bogart something, and set it in a high school, you know, and stick with that lingo of that time, you know, like, you know, she knows where I eat lunch and tip the bowls and keep your specs on this one. I mean, come on, that's amazing. Awesome dialogue. But I just wanted to back you up on Brick being an awesome movie and, you know, people out there that want to watch it. It's cool. It's very, very cool. The second thing I wanted to talk about was Serenity, because last week you guys were talking about, or this week, I guess, maybe, sort of whether to stick the television show Firefly in the queue first or the movie Serenity. I just wanted to give you sort of, you know, how I came to those the film and the TV show, which was I saw the movie first. I didn't know anything about Joss Whedon, really. I sort of didn't get into the Buffy thing. I'm not a vampire fan, I guess. But I saw the movie first and was fascinated by the characters. I mean, they're just such cool, interesting people, and I was like, I gotta know more about these people. I mean, the movie was thoroughly entertaining, but it's the characters I fell in love with, and I wanted to know more about them, and so I went back and watched the TV show. And it didn't bother me in some ways, because, you know, with a TV show, you know, the plots sometimes take many different episodes to develop a character fully, and in the movie, obviously, you have a sort of a shorter amount of time. And so when I went back from movie to television, it sort of fleshed out the characters for me, and I found them much more interesting on second viewing of the movie. And it didn't ruin it for me at all. I thought it sort of made the movie more worthwhile after having gotten to know these characters better. Also, if you watch the movie first, you sort of don't mind if the episodes are slower paced than a movie. You don't mind that maybe the special effects or the might not be as great or whatever, because you're so in love with the characters, at least I was. So I wanted to finish up actually with a sort of a my suggestion for a stick it in your queue that has to go off a brick, really, not so much off of Serenity, but my suggestion for a stick it in your queue for you gentlemen, if you haven't said it already, I'm a new caller obviously, but is the movie Titus by Julie Taymor, which is sort of goes off that idea of taking an idea and twisting it, which is something I'm really into, as I said. Titus is a Shakespeare play. It was one of his most popular when he was alive. It's his most bloody as far as death and manner of death, how they die. I won't give anything away or anything, but it goes off the idea of taking an idea and twisting it. And what's awesome about Titus is that it doesn't exist in any time, really. It's not an adaptation where they set it in the future, or the present, or the past. It's sort of all of those three things mold together. You have these ancient things right next to somebody riding a motorcycle or a car in the 1940s and playing like jazz swing music or whatever. And then you have these leather outfits, and it's just interesting. You got to see it. It's very visual. I love visual movies, and it's pure Shakespeare, pure dialogue, and awesome actors. You've got Anthony Hopkins as Titus Andronicus. You've got Jessica Lange. You've got, off the top of my head, I can't remember all of them. But anyway, Ralph and Ben, sorry, I guess I got cut off. I guess I talk way too much, but this is Adam from San Francisco. I was basically done, but I hate leaving a call without saying goodbye. Like, you know, you get cut off on a cell phone when you're talking to somebody, you go under a tunnel or something. But anyway. So anyway, stick it in your queue, Titus, Julie Taymor, it's a great movie, I think you guys will like it. Anyway, take it easy, have a good one, thanks a lot for doing a great podcast, and I look forward to hearing your queue suggestions and all of your reviews of all those cool movies that are coming up, like Simpsons and so on and so forth. Anyway, take it easy, guys.
Hey, Lars, good afternoon, morning, evening to you. Hey, one suggestion, when you're doing your podcast. Not that I'm moaning and groaning, bitching and complaining, but I hear the iChat throughout the whole show. I don't. Yeah, I'm probably bitching. Never mind.
Hey, Ben and Ralph, it's Tyler from Florida. First off, I want to say I hate milk. It's just nasty. Secondly, Return of the Jedi is not the best Star Wars film, but Leia in a bikini makes up for that any day. And now a message to my fellow callers. Guys, seriously, put some thought into your call before you make it. I don't want to hear you mumble or sound like you're drunk or high, which half of you probably are. Your obsession with Big Brother 8, it's your own problem. I really don't want to hear about it. I'm just asking. Put some thought into this, people. Come on. Back to Ben and Ralph now. I hope to see Transformers or Live Free Die Hard this weekend. Possibly both. I'll try and call back, let you know what I think about it. And now I leave you guys with a joke. The chicken and the egg were laying in bed, and the egg said, now that we got that figured out, what do you want to do? All right, guys, later.
Hey, guys, this is Weensy from North Scotland. Just wanted to say hi, because I haven't phoned in before, in the large lots. I've got Wrecking the Queue. It's a quality film. Basically, I just wanted to say hi. Keep up the good work, lads. I think these are set up. Peace. Shit.
Hey, Ralph and Ben. This is Chris from London, Ontario, Canada. I was just listening to your podcast about Comic-Con. And you were talking about David X. Cohen and wondering what the X stands for. I'm pretty sure it doesn't actually stand for anything. I'm also a huge fan of Futurama, and I've listened to all the commentaries on all the DVDs, and I'm pretty sure in one of the commentaries he talks about there was already a David Cohen in, like, the Screenwriters Guild or something like that, so he just made up the X initial because he thought it sounded cool, I guess, and very futury, possibly. I don't know. Yeah, hope you guys have a good time at Comic-Con, and I'm very jealous that I can't go. But, yeah, I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Ben and Ralph, it's Mike. I just wanted to say thank you, Ralph, for the wonderful shout-out, even though it was hidden. And Ben, please give out a review of the HD version of Phantom of the Opera. I was a somewhat fan of that. I'd like to hear more about HD movies, if there's that much difference between HD and just regular DVD. Thanks for podcasting so well. And I've seen those finger paintings you bring home and they suck.
Hey, what's up, Lars? This is Jay calling out of L.A. What's my movie review, as they say? So I went to go see the Henry of Potter, and it was okay. It wasn't a lot of big fights in it to me, not enough, rather. So, I mean, it was all right. So then, okay, that's that. So, you know, it was cool. The other movie I went to go see after that was Transformers. From what I saw of it, was great. You know what I'm saying? I fell out when they was doing the whole thing with Bumblebee. I didn't wake up until somebody was talking, you know, and pretty much showed the outcome of the story. So I pretty much been the major part of the movie. Okay, but it's understandable because I woke up at work like a 12-hour damn day, and then the fucking I only got like I didn't even go to sleep. I only had like 2 hours to wind down till we went to the 9:30 showing of Henry Potter. So there you go. So anyway, but no, I called really besides my review. Two awesome sticks, I give it. Each of them, they were pretty good. Okay, so I'm calling about this trailer, okay? If you have not seen the trailer, but it came on right before the Transformers movie. I'm trying to hurry up because I'm actually back at work. So right before the Transformers started, there was this trailer called 11808, all right? And I'm pretty sure you guys talked about it or whatever. So the damn thing is, just in case you didn't, it starts off with this guy named Rob having a going away party or whatever, and it's, you know, it's everybody's partying. It's being shot by a video camera via his best friend. So everybody's talking. He's going to Japan or whatever, and they can't believe it. All of a sudden, the lights flicker, and you hear some kind of coming from the background. Then you see. Everybody piling outside, the cameras cutting and jumping and everything. Then you see, everybody, you hear all these just mumbling and talking, so the guy's like, you know, like, oh man, it shot fire from his mouth. And then you hear one guy say, I think you look like a lion. And then, you know, so everybody's like, whoa. Then all of a sudden it pans over and says, whoa, what was that? You hear this, rah! And then the damn thing, you see something explode in the middle of the damn city. It's a big-ass fireball, and you see these parts shooting off from whatever the hell was blowing up. Then, like, it just so happens that it lands on their block, and people are running scared. And then right after the last second, you see it's the face of the Statue of Liberty, and you're like, oh, shit. And then you hear, ah! And then it says 11808, okay? And then, but then right before it says 11808, it says J.J. Abrams, Life Lost Tie-In, right? So the damn thing is, spoiler, if you don't think you, I think I know what it is. You can go on the Internet Movie Database on the computer. They don't even say what the hell it is, but I think I know what it is. I think because they said fire from a damn mouth, and then one guy said, I think it's a lion, it's a lion. Just because I heard that, I think it's Voltron, damn it, the live action of Voltron. Go figure. You might say, well, the guy name wasn't Rob, and they wasn't in New York. I beg to differ. The guy probably wasn't named Rob, but there were like 7 different Transformers cartoons Voltron cartoons, like seven different. And then the thing about it, one of them actually came to Earth. So go figure, they can change the name. All right, guys, that's all I got. Love the podcast. Keep it up, with you. All right, late. Hopefully, y'all got the 360. You're gonna get Rock Band because it looks awesome. All right, late.
Wrestling team!